Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers chapter 1 on Through the Word, and the journey through the desert starts with preparation. It's a road trip, but we're not ready to hit the road just yet. First, we need to get some things in order. Let's start in at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting in the desert of Sinai on the first day of the second month of the second year after the Israelites came out of Egypt. He said, "Take a census of the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man by name, one by one." So the book begins with the words, "The Lord spoke." Before anything else, remember that this is the Word of God. In this case, it is God's direction for Moses, and the direction is to count. Chapter 1 is a census. God tells Moses to count the Israelites. Now, Numbers is not the math book of the Bible, though I personally would love that. Have I told you that I love math? I do. But, sadly, it's not a math book. Sorry, logarithm enthusiasts, no exponents here. But Chapter 1 does have a lot of numbers. Numbers for each tribe, in fact. It's a lot of numbers, but not a lot of excitement. Numbers start slow. It's a road trip, yes, but the Israelites don't even move anywhere until chapter 9. This is not the Indy 500. Actually, this is more like a long, slow pit stop. Very slow. So how do you call this a road trip? Well, this part is preparation, getting organized. Road trip doesn't happen without preparing. The census in chapter 1 is like taking inventory. When I loaded up the minivan for this road trip, I told my kids to put all the luggage behind the van, staging area. I want to see it all first, then load up, then get moving. God wants Moses and his men to see what they have first. So he tells him in verse 3, "You and Aaron are to number by their divisions all the men in Israel, 20 years old or more, who are able to serve in the army. One man from each tribe, each the head of his family, is to help you." So the census here will not count everyone, just the men ready for military duty. Why military? Because there is a battle ahead in the Promised Land. Also because each man represents a family. And speaking of representing families, verses 5 to 16 list the heads of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. These men were called to lead their families. They were accountable. And being accountable starts here with taking the count. "And count they did, one by one." The counts for each tribe begin with Reuben in verse 20, then Simeon, then Gad, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. 12 tribes of Israel, each a son of Jacob, now a large family between 32,000 and 75,000 strong. Verse 46 gives us the grand total. The total number was 603,550. That's a lot of people. Include all of the family members, and you likely have more than 2 million Israelites in the desert. A couple of interesting notes in the count here. First of all, there are 12 tribes listed, but one is still missing. It's a little confusing. Here's how it works. Jacob, whose name became Israel, had 12 sons, and each of those sons had descendants, making up the 12 families or tribes of Israel. All of them are listed here. But in verse 32, his son Joseph gets double booking. Joseph was a favorite of Jacob's. Jacob decided that Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, would each have their own tribe. So two replace one, and that gives us 13 tribes. But only 12 tribes are counted in the census. That's because we haven't counted the tribe of Levi yet. Verse 47 says, "The families of the tribe of Levi, however, were not counted along with the others." That was God's instruction. Levi was not to fight in the army, so they're not counted. Not yet. Read verse 50 to find out why the Levites were not called to war. We'll count their tribe in chapter 3. So we added one, then lost one, and wound up back at 12. Maybe this is a math book. In any case, you'll see this throughout the scripture as the tribes of Israel come up. 12 tribes are listed, but they are not always the same 12. So the question is, what does all this mean to me and you? It's good to know how many Israelites we're reading about, but what's the application here? Remember, Numbers is a road trip. It is lessons on following God. What's the lesson here? Taking inventory. God's people are about to get organized and then get moving. And you can't organize a closet until you know what's in it. The process may be tedious, but it is essential. The same is true for spiritual life, and especially for spiritual battle. The book of Ephesians illustrates this well. Before God calls you to do anything for him, he wants you to open your eyes and get a good look at the things you already have. The first three chapters of Ephesians are all blessings, a spiritual inventory of all God gave you, and prayers that your eyes would be open to see it. Then Ephesians 4 says, walk worthy of it. First know what you have, then walk. And the last three chapters are all about how to walk and how to stand in spiritual battle. The story of Numbers follows the same flow. God wants you to know exactly who is on your side and what weapons you have before you get into spiritual battle. Now, I hope you read Numbers chapter 1 today, but be warned, it is slow. Verses 20 through 44 are nearly identical. Here in Numbers, dig in through the dry chapters, and you'll find some deep lessons about following God through the dry times in your own walk. Every Christian hits it. I call it the spiritual desert. You started out full of passion and direction, but life got hard, the walk slowed down, and now it's just dry. How does it happen? And why does God allow it? Take heart. The time in the desert is one of the most important trials that a Christian will go through. The lessons you learn there are life lessons that you should never forget. And if you can learn to follow God through the desert, you can follow him through just about anything. Many of those lessons are here in Numbers, so stick with it. The foremost lesson is trust. Trust God. You'll never follow someone you don't trust. So the Israelites are learning to trust God, even in the dry times, especially in the dry times. One of the best things that I can tell you about the spiritual desert is that it will end. God does not want you in the desert forever. Yes, the journey may go slower than you want, but he has a promised land for you. He wants you to thrive. So why is it that so many Christians never seem to thrive? Here in Numbers, the journey these Israelites are on is only about 2 weeks' worth of normal travel. That's it. But God has them on a 2-year journey of preparation. 2 years for lessons to be learned, for trust to be developed. But it won't take 2 years. It will take 40, and all 603,550 men we just counted will die in the desert, all except two. But that wasn't God's plan. So why didn't they enter in? The same reason that Christians never thrive, because they never learned to trust God in the desert, so they never followed him into the promised land. You will never follow God into the battles and blessings of the promised land unless you learn to trust him in the desert. That is the heart of the story of Numbers. So please keep on reading, and please keep on in your walk with God. Trust God through the desert. Here in chapter 1, the Israelites are getting it right. Trusting God means obeying God. And the last verse in the chapter may be boring, but it's beautiful. After the census was completed, verse 54 says, "The Israelites did all this just as the Lord commanded Moses." In other words, they trusted and obeyed.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing. And hearing through the word.